Recovery Internet Radio broadcast live and direct from Straight Stuff Studios. Are we going with Straight Up Studios? Straight Stuff sounds good.
Yeah, Straight Stuff.
Straight Stuff. That's We've got a great show here for you tonight. We're into our second year. This is our I believe, our first show of a new year of our broadcasting.
Yes,
show number, I'm just making this up here, but I'm going to say show number episode 60. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for being with us. I'm going to pass you to our esteemed host, Mr. Rick Atwater.
Thank you, Chris. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Recovery Internet Radio and our show, Straight Stuff on Addictions. Our tag tonight is Communication with the Other Side. And for those of you who think this is about mediums and stuff like that, it's not. We're not going to be talking to anybody, any deceased people this evening. And at least I don't think so.
Not that we know of.
And our guests tonight are Chris R. and Mike. I don't know your last name, so I don't use your initial, but we'll just go with Mike.
Yeah, good.
Mike L. Hey, guys.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
L?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris R. and Mike L. Thanks for joining us tonight, where we are every Sunday night at 8 o'clock. And thanks to our engineer, Chris, who's holding this thing together, more or less. And let's see, remember to check out recoveryinternetradio.com for all of our archive shows. And you can also get the current show live at recoveryinternetradio.com. That is
recoveryinternetradio.com.
Thank you. We're going to probably say that a few more times tonight.
Yeah, feel free. We can, you know, if you're listening live, you know, if you've got questions, give us a call. It's 323-792-2977. So we can do that live. We can also, you know, answer any questions you might have via Twitter at Rick Atwater, and we check that live during the show as well. So, you know, go ahead, get tweety.
Did you really just say that?
I can't believe it either, but it happened.
Did we get any more? Did you notice if we had any more followers after you added? Who else did you add? Last week,
Bradshaw, Bradshaw, and in NPR.
Yeah. Any? Did you notice anything?
With two more followers. Yeah.
Wow, we're knocking them out. We are killing them.
Watch out.
Okay. All right. We have a couple of plugs, and then we'll get going here. We have some friends of ours are in a band called Double Take, and they're really a fun band. They do 60s, 70s, current music, good dance music. Did you happen to look where their latest gig is?
I think they have one coming up, I want to say May 24th, but you can check their website. That's doubletakechicago.com.
Yeah, check their website. They're a lot of fun. Good dance band. And we also have a friend who has a business called Dirty Laundry Designs. Fresh cards for addiction and recovery. And you can contact them at dirtylaundrydesigns.com. That's Colleen, for those of you who know Colleen. And their Colleen's phone number is 815-245-1209. So that's our little get started stuff. So let's get going with you guys. You know, you kind of famous guys now, so.
Right.
Yeah. So we have to tread. You know, we have to tread carefully. We don't want to jump you with any heavy duty hardball questions.
Go for it.
We don't have any, so I don't think you have to.
I
don't think you have to worry. I think we're good. So so you guys have got a place called The Other Side.
Yeah.
And we've heard a lot about it, and. But my first question to you guys would be, can you talk a little bit about what got you into this in the first place? Like, give us the history, and whatever of your history you'd like to add to that, we'd be happy to hear.
Sure. Well, I guess
I mean, I got sober. I mean, obviously, this all is a result of me living a sober lifestyle as mm-hmm. well as other people. But mm-hmm. I got sober in September 20th, 2009. Heroin addiction, pretty much all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was, I think, I don't know, probably a couple, 2 years. I was probably sober for like 2 years or so. And I have... Well, backtrack. I started a construction company when I was newly sober, 3 months sober maybe. And
you have no shortage of energy, do you, Chris?
No, no. And
you didn't waste any time.
I did not. It was I got sober and it was immediately handed on a plate full of responsibilities. But and this, the construction company was just it was successful from the first year, and it's still what I do. But it the construction company, you know, progressed into a place where we had a contract with Bank of America doing foreclosures, mm-hmm. property maintenance. So when foreclosures come on the market, we'd come out and do, you know, the empty the pipes, you know, all the maintain the yard, the snow in the winter and stuff like that. And we would, and that contract fell through about like a year and a half ago. But I had this warehouse in Crystal Lake over by Nick's Pizza that I had the trailers for that maintenance contract, and but when that fell through, I sold the trailers and I sold all the equipment, the lawnmowers, snow blowers,
yeah,
and all that stuff, and then I was left with this empty space. But you know, I was in there for a couple year lease, so I wasn't going anywhere. And I, the front office was really nice, and so I used that for the construction company. And
so you kept going. It's just that that individual contract.
Yeah, and that led up, which left us with all the space, and.
Yeah.
Which kind of brings us, we started hanging out there, you know, some of the guys that I got sober with, Mikey included here, and I, you know, as that progressed, it was like 15 people, and we added like, and we bought some speakers, and we installed some speakers in there, and we had a card table, we played cards there on Friday night, and then it was like 20 people, and it was like 30 people, and it was like 40 people, and then it was like the place, and it was just a warehouse, there was literally nothing in it, I mean, other than, we have through a bag set in there, but it wasn't done up, and there was no bells and whistles to it at all. It was just a concrete floor with cinder block walls and an mm-hmm. upstairs wood floor.
Yeah.
And it was nothing, but it was a place.
Yeah.
It was a place to go and just kind of socialize and
acoustics stuff.
Yeah, yeah. there was really nothing too special about it.
Right.
But, me and Mike went out to Las Vegas, and for a convention out there. It was a convention for people who are in recovery of some sort, and out there we met some people from Los Angeles.
Would this be like a roundup?
Yeah, something similar to that.
Yeah,
you know, a young person. It was like a young people conference.
Yeah.
And is the west, well, the Western area conference.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Mike were out there, and we met, you know, met some cool people. And I
you're from out there, aren't you? Is that where you're from?
No. Yeah, I'm from closer to the city.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, but so we went out there and met some cool people, and by the end of the weekend, I was invited back out to Los Angeles the following weekend by some of the guys for a conference that was out there, and they wanted me to share my story and mm-hmm. some things out there. And when I was out there, I visited this, there's this organization called Straight Edge, and they host sober parties.
Hmm.
And non 12-step affiliated mm-hmm. organization, they just had sober parties, and I went to
the people, always in the same place, or
just... well, they had opened the place, and they had actually outgrew it into a, and they were having their events. They were actually have to rent out like the Marriott Convention Center, and they were having like 1,000 to 1,200 people. I think the one I was at, there was like 900 people there, and it was sponsored by Monster Energy Drink. I mean, it was the real deal. And I mean, three big name DJs were there. I mean, mm-hmm. It was an awesome time. So I went out there and I was like, this is awesome. And it, literally it was just about mm-hmm. having sober parties, whether you're in recovery and AA or NA or any of that stuff, or you're just sober because that's a lifestyle choice that you've made. They didn't care. You know, it was just,
yeah,
if you're sober, come hang out.
Yeah. You don't have to show your 12-step card.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Kind of thing.
And it was, so that was really cool, yeah, for me to see. And I came back, and then I kind of put two and two together that, you know, there's really no reason why, you know, Chicagoland couldn't have something, an organization very similar to that. That's just solely focused on having sober fun, really. And so me and...
That's what you guys were already doing anyway, right?
Yeah, and then so I figured,
before I forget, have you guys had any knocks on the door from sponsorship, from energy drink companies and stuff like that, or any of that?
We have had, some smaller energy drink companies, but we wanted to get Red Bull, but I don't know if you remember like the last thing that Red Bull sponsored. It was like the man jumping out of the outer space, like skydiving from outer space.
Oh, that was the Red Bull thing?
Yeah, Red Bull spot paid for that. So.
Okay, so.
We kind of felt a little inadequate.
Yeah. Maybe Water Joe. Remember that?
Yeah, or something. So we're still working on that. But so after we came back from L.A., we decided to form we named it The Other Side. And then we decided that, and we kind of came up with a business model about that we were going to form a non-for-profit organization.
Everybody probably asks you this, but I got to ask because I don't really know why The Other Side. Where'd that come from?
The actual name, The Other Side.
Yeah.
It was weeks of back and forth and bantering on what we could call it, and we finally came up with The Other Side just because it's it came from one of our goals, which is to change like the stigma associated with sober living. So this would be the other side.
I get
it. What standard? You know, our society today is very reliant on drugs and alcohol, and that's kind of the norm.
Right.
And
so this is the other side of that.
The other side of that. So, and that's where it came from.
Yeah, I like it. Plus it sounds like when you get a group of recovering people together, try to get them to agree on anything. If they agreed on something, I'd run with it, right?
Yeah, so. That's really where I'm at. Like, just call it The Other Side.
Yeah, let's go. Let's
so,
ride.
So then it was pretty cool because you'd be surprised how many times you say The Other Side.
Yeah.
So you say it a lot. So we were, I don't know.
We'll try to say it a couple more times yet tonight.
Sure. More than twice.
I came back from Los Angeles and I was kind of fired up to get this going. And it was me and Mike and Evan McLean and Brady Coleman. I'm sure you guys know Brady, but we got this.
Yeah, he's been on the show, actually.
Yeah, sure. And Steve Staley and if a few other people, just name dropping here. But
sure, sure.
We picked up a not-for-profit organization that was kind of dissolved that one of our other friends had gone through to try and open. His idea was to open some sort of treatment center, so we picked up that non-for-profit status.
He'd already got
everything with the state.
501c3 or whatever it is.
So we redid the bylaws, sent them to the state, got them approved and everything like that, and redid the mission statement because the core goals were very in line with what we were trying to do with the non-for-profit. So then, we got that going and we started The Other Side. We had our first party. It was like 80 or 90 people showed up and it was a really good time, but it was minimal. We started having parties, like events on a regular basis.
On weekends or?
Yeah, on weekends. And then people would just be hanging out there and more structure started coming to it. And there wasn't, it just started to kind of take its own, own life. And eventually Steve, which is one of the guys, he had his band play there and over 200 people showed up. And then the city of Crystal Lake was like, no, this is not happening here.
Red Violent.
His band. And they played and way too many people showed up. And we, and the building commissioner came by and he's like, this is all cool and everything, but you have 200 people here. There's one bathroom. I don't even know if you have a fire alarm system. There's no panic hardware. You can't do this here. So they shut us down promptly.
Yeah.
Then we were really motivated to actually do it.
Yeah.
So, and then this is where we really got, got serious about it.
But I would have to say, everybody, let's just say everybody wouldn't be, there'd be people that would go, oh, well, we're screwed. We don't have the,
run.
I mean.
But that wasn't what you did. So.
Yeah, no, that wasn't, which is surprising, but we took it and we filed a petition to rezone the unit that we were in from a
and that's not easy to do.
No, it was not. It's not easy to do, and the city had very legitimate reasons to not let us do it.
Yeah.
And it was a process. It was a really long process, and it was much more than any of us signed up for. But we had
had to go in front of the zoning board.
We had to go through
a couple of times.
The building commission first with the engineering department. It was one meeting, and we had to pitch our idea to the city council, not city council, to the building commissioner. It was the building commissioner and everybody else who's involved with the city.
Right.
And and then they made their recommendation to the city council with the mayor and all the city trustees.
And did they recommend it?
And they did. Mm-hmm. And they recommended us for a special use variance, which would be to remove the manufacturing zoning and set it to assembly zoning, which is what a bar
mm-hmm.
would be zoned as in a commercial unit.
Mm-hmm.
So then we went to our meeting with the mayor and everybody in Crystal Lake, and they put it through right away.
Hmm.
And then they handed us a list of shit to do. It was ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was ridiculous.
Right.
There was
we're all about you. Now do this.
That's exactly what it was. Like, here's your opportunity, but it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
What kind of stuff did you have to do?
Well, it's nice to be able to talk about. You have no idea how nice it is to be able to talk about this in the past.
Oh, I can imagine.
You know, because every interview I've had up until this point has been like,
We're working on it.
What roadblock are you in front of at the moment?
Right.
Everything.
Yeah, because you guys opened officially last week, right?
Last weekend. Last
Saturday. So,
but
jump through all the hoops.
We had to install a $15,000 heating and air conditioning unit on the roof. There was $5,000 for a new bathroom. There was most of the electrical had to get redone. Fire code upgrades, fire alarm system, sprinkler system. It was a lot. It ended up being just under $50,000 worth of work.
And did you guys raise all that money?
Yeah, we funded it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, it took about, we got shut down in October and we opened in April. So, in April. Is it April?
Yeah.
April, last weekend in April. But the whole process, it was cool because
I gotta say,
skipped a whole lot of stuff in the middle of there because there's so many just unique circumstances that came about. Like we would be the city would give us like bits and pieces at a time,
right?
And it was like, oh, this is impossible. We'll never get this done. Like, how are we gonna get a $15,000 heating and air conditioning unit?
Right,
it's ridiculous. And then how are we going to re-support the roof? And how are we going to get a crane to put it on the roof? And they just, things came, and we just reached out to people. And it was like, we were just given enough to what we could handle each
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
And it added up and it was successful. And then like Fox Valley Fire helped us out. And they came in and just installed the fire alarm for us. And we had still didn't even know who the sprinkler guy is who came in and did it, but I reached out to some sprinkler guy and he said, yeah, come help you guys out, and he showed up one day and it was done.
The sprinkler guy.
Yeah, the sprinkler guy.
Sprinkler guy.
I have no idea. I don't know. And then the heating and air conditioning unit was a friend of a friend of a friend who owns a heating and air conditioning company. Happened to be going to a meeting with his supply reps from Goodman. And Goodman's like, yeah, we'll help these guys out. And they gave us the unit for like $3,400, which was like $7,000 off. And they gave us like a free economizer and the thermostat and the curb and everything. And then we found somebody to install it for us and cut the hole in the roof. And it's just a bunch of little pieces that put together.
Yeah, or not so little pieces, actually, right?
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
Unbelievable.
And it was countless man hours. I mean, we put in...
Did you guys do some of the work yourself?
We did, other than the major, other than the heating and air conditioning, the stuff that was totally out, you needed a license to do.
Yeah.
And even some of the stuff that you didn't need a license to do, we did. I mean, all the carpentry, I mean, everything. If you go in there, it's really, really nice. I mean, it's a nice bar. I mean, it would be, if you were to walk in, it rivals any bar in Crystal Lake, quality-wise, so.
Yeah.
And we put in long hours. There was points where we had beds set up in there working, like through the night. We had the last weekend before we were open, because we were doing construction literally 2 days before we opened.
Yeah.
And we were there for something like 96 hours nonstop. Just not even didn't.
And how many of all of those guys that you named and were you?
Yeah,
there?
And Aaron Cutler, AJ. I don't know if you've ever met AJ, but AJ.
Yeah, I know AJ.
He put in some serious work in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Like dedicated. He put his entire life aside to make sure that we got open, as well as all of us. But he really put in some work. And
obsessions can be good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was. It was a process, but it was totally necessary.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't be half the organization that we are now. We meet every Wednesday. We have our board meeting for the nonprofit every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We haven't missed it ever. I mean, since we started doing it.
And do you meet there at the other side?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and we've really got things together. I mean, we would have never, if the city wouldn't have made us go through the all the hoops to make the changes. One, it wouldn't be nearly as nice as it is now. It probably wouldn't have succeeded. And we wouldn't have got any of the press that we've gotten. Because the first Chicago Tribune article that was written that really started everything was a result of the public hearing that we had to go through.
Yeah, sure.
Because one of the Chicago Tribune reporters picked up on that.
Yeah.
And then they personally interviewed, I know I'm jumping back and forth, but then they personally interviewed like me and Mike and Steve and the guys involved and got to know like our personal stories of recovery.
Yeah.
And then how it was all coming together to do this. And the Chicago Tribune reporter thought it was just amazing.
What do you think it was that caught their attention so much that...
I think
she had a 17-year-old daughter. She lived in Algonquin and had a 17.
The reporter for the trip?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was just so excited to see, I think, just like the action behind it. Because mm-hmm. It wasn't an idea of like in the future. It was like, here's what we want to do and we're going to do it right now.
Right. You're in front of the city council. You're putting the meeting in air conditioning.
Yeah, and it's just something that we're all 22, 23, 24.
Yeah.
And it's not like we have immense amount of resources or any of us come from large amounts of money or anything like that. And it's just some project that we're doing. We just really put the effort into making it happen. So, and then the more she kind of got to know us, the more she was like personally invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she called us on Saturday. She's like, hey, I actually got it on the Sunday paper in the Chicago Tribune. And
you were saying it was the same...
It was the same paper that the day that Obama got inaugurated.
Yeah.
For his second term.
Right.
And it was the Section 1, Article 1 of the Sunday paper, of the Sunday Chicago Tribune. And
right.
2.8 million copies were
out
of the paper.
That's a lot of visibility. Sure.
Yeah, and it was huge mm-hmm. for us. And I think we got almost 500 phone calls in 2 days from that.
Wow.
Yeah. It was crazy. I mean, from all over the country, too.
Oh, not just local, but all over the place.
Oh, and we had calls from New Zealand. We had calls from all over the place.
They're looking for something like this. They're
pretty
sure.
What do they want? They want to know how you did it, or they want to just congratulate you?
Yeah, there was a lot of congratulations. Like, this is a really great idea. You know, we support you guys and what you're doing. This is in need in our community. I hope it catches on, a lot of stuff like that.
You know, I'm really interested in, like, why, you know, I mean, I think the city could have gone the other way with this.
Oh, very,
pretty
very
easy.
Very easily.
Why do you think
stopped before it even started.
Yeah, why do you think they didn't?
Well, because it is a positive thing. I mean, this is something where we are trying to benefit the community. And
yeah.
They see that. They just wanted us to go about it properly.
Yeah, we presented it in a way that was reasonable and it made sense.
Sure.
So it wasn't an outrage. I mean, and they had never had problems with us before because we had told the city what we were doing from the beginning.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, it's your space. Do whatever you want with it. You know? Right.
But then when like, it got big, right, then we got...
It was like, all right, never mind.
So it wasn't like...
Yeah. Well, I mean, the cops... I mean, there was one instance... we were all hanging out there, and there's another building unit on the corner over by Coleman's Bar, and some of the guys that were hanging out at the other side that night heard this lady scream, and they all ran over there, and this guy was pulling this girl out of her car and beating her, mm-hmm. And these guys and the guys that were hanging out the other side stopped it and mm-hmm. called the police and held this guy down until the police got there,
mm-hmm.
and he actually ended up getting charged for attempted murder because mm-hmm. of how bad he had, you know, beaten her. And
mm-hmm.
I mean that was just like one instance, and I mean they knew the police had been there a while, and they had been there a few times, and they'd talked to us, and
mm-hmm. So they knew what was going on.
They knew that was going on, and they knew like the quality of the people that were hanging out there. It wasn't just like a bunch of criminals. You know, hanging out.
Right.
Well, I mean, it was.
Well, it was, yeah. I mean, kind of.
It was in a sense. I've always thought it'd be funny to, like...
Not current.
To run the... I think it'd always be funny to run, on one of our events, to run the license plates in the parking lot.
see what kind of stuff comes up.
It'd be a disaster.
Yeah. So I take it like a...
Hilarious, huh?
Like a felony doesn't knock you out of the box for working at the other side.
No.
Well, that's okay. But I mean...
yeah, the board would have to be dissolved.
I understand. Okay. But, you know, I mean, so it's part of what you're saying is the city knew about you, knew that you mm-hmm. you guys were committed to, you know, staying sober, that it was a sober deal. And
Yeah, there's a few occasions where the police, you know, stopped by before we were rezoned and looked in. They're like, oh, you know, it's not drinking, not doing anything wrong.
Right.
It's just that one time where we had an obnoxious amount of people. Yeah.
That was with the band.
Yeah.
That was with Steve's band. Yeah.
So, yeah, things just kind of, you know, and then things just moved on from that point. And then it was, you know, me and Steve got to do a Saturday morning interview at WGN Studios, downtown Chicago, you know, right on Michigan Avenue, 15 minutes live with Bill Mohler, and like huge publicity. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the Northwest Herald, and then it was the Daily Herald,
mm-hmm.
and then it was the Sun-Times, and then it was, and then the Daily Herald article, which actually ran on the front page of the Sunday paper.
That's the one that I...
front page. Yeah. I don't know, you might have the Northwest Herald one, but...
Yeah, I think that's what...
The Daily Herald was...
that one.
That's the Northwest.
That's the Northwest.
The Daily Herald is the one that caused everything to go viral, like across the country, and it was on... It made its way to almost every newspaper.
Yeah,
every major,
yeah.
Every major newspaper in the country it showed up in.
Yeah, it was in the Trenton Times.
Yeah, but ABC, and then we were on. It was ABC Morning News. I mean, they did a bit at like 9 a.m. Saturday morning.
Right.
I mean, Sunday morning.
So why do you think what was the popular? What were people attracted to about this?
I feel like it's been done before, but it's not been done like this, I guess. There's something unique about the way we've gone about it.
Yeah. What do you think that is?
I think it's the sober bar type, because we didn't call it a sober bar. Kind of the publicity called it a sober bar.
Yeah,
sure. I wanted to ask you about that.
We didn't really know what to call it, really, because we didn't really like sober bar. We didn't really, but we definitely didn't like nightclub without alcoholic beverages either. That's our city variant.
It doesn't ring.
That's what it says in our city variants, in our special use variants.
What?
Nightclub without alcoholic beverages.
Nightclub without. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm with
so
you.
So we didn't like that at all either.
No.
But I mean, what do you call it?
What do you call it? Yeah.
We don't want a rec center.
No,
because we weren't sugarcoating anything. We didn't want this to be a place to where people are like, oh, that's cute. You're hanging mm-hmm. out in our little rec center. You guys got your little spot. Like we wanted it to be a place where you could go pick up chicks. You mm-hmm. know, like you wanted. I mean, we wanted it to be like a bar, just the same exact atmosphere as a bar that people are attracted to. That social.
Sure.
You know, the social life.
Because that's what people your age are going to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're not going to a sober bar. They're going to be going to a non-sober one.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the concept behind it is just, is a lot of us, you know, we want to go out and we want to socialize and do all that same stuff, and there's thousands of people our age in some sort of recovery or just choose not to drink. And, sure. But there's nowhere to go. There's really nowhere. Where do you go? You go to the movie theater, you go to the bowling alley. But if you hang out, if you hang out with me and Mike and our group of friends, there's 40 of us. We're not going to all go to the bowling alley. It's a disaster. And it gets boring. You know, yeah. You can't go to somebody's
house.
How
many times can you go to the bowling alley?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
I've
said
that quite a few times.
And, right.
And you can't go to somebody's house. You can't fit 40 people in an apartment.
Well, I can't tell you how many times I've heard from people, you know, in your age group.
There's nothing to do.
What am I going to do? But specifically about meeting people. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like meeting people, you know, dating stuff, meeting other, you know, that's the
normal
thing.
There should be another option.
Yeah.
If you want to go out on a Friday or Saturday night, there should be an option other than to go out and drink.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's just what we're trying to, like, at the other side. And the other side is just a part of the not-for-profit. The not-for-profit is called New Directions Addiction Recovery Services. And so the other side is one piece of that. And then we've got an awareness program that speaks in high schools,
mm-hmm.
which is called Wake the Nation. And the goals with the other side is, one, to just provide a substance-free environment in the community. Two is just this, to unify the sober community because there's pockets of people all over the Chicagoland area that are sober through 12-step programs, that are sober through just church-based. You know, there's people like, you know, like my younger brother. He saw my lifestyle. He just said, that's not something that I'm ever going to do. And he just doesn't drink. He doesn't drug. And he never has. And as far as he's concerned, he never will.
Yeah.
And, but there's nowhere for everybody to get together.
There's no one single unified place for people.
Exactly. So we're trying to provide that that spot.
And at the same time, it gives it makes it okay. I don't know how to say it.
Well,
it advocates for recovery or advocates for sobriety.
Our third and final goal is to remove the stigma associated with sober living.
Yeah.
So those are our three goals. What we're trying to do, you know, with the other side.
Well, let's that's a good place to break. Let's take a break. We're going to play, what are we going to play?
I think we're going to play, break on through to
the other side,
you
know, seemed like the right thing to do. So we're going to play that. And how much that gives us, three or four minutes.
3 minutes. Enjoy the music. Thanks for joining us. And we'll be right back with you with Recovery Internet Radio.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah. We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there. But can you still recall the time we cried? Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Yeah.
Welcome back to Recovery Internet Radio. If you're just joining us, our show tonight is Communication with the Other Side. We're here with a couple of guys that have done some really awesome things and have brought a great service to life. Through some hardships and some challenges and perseverance and hard work and positive momentum. So welcome back. Again, you can always ask us anything during the show or at any time at Rick Atwater via Twitter, or you can give us a call right now on the air at 323-792-2977. So feel free to reach out and we'll, ask us whatever might be on your mind.
And if you call in, you can actually speak to the guests. You don't have to talk to either you or me.
No, I'd rather speak to our guests personally.
Yeah.
Hey, but it's up to you.
That's what we're all about.
So we'll get right back to it here.
Yeah, I was gonna mention when we were talking about the newspapers, the stuff that was going around. And I mentioned this before the show, but we were on the East Coast on it was a couple of weeks ago. So it must have been shortly after this hit the Northwest paper, and. And we're in Hamilton, New Jersey, and I'm drinking my coffee and reading the Saturday paper at my brother's house. It's the Trenton Times, and there it is. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
I think it was the same. Is this what they?
That was the Northwest Herald. I think the funniest one we've gotten so far was we had a journalist called us from Amsterdam saying he was going to do a story on us, and he called us up and literally said, he's like, oh, this is the story. I know you guys probably won't be able to read it because it's in Dutch, but this is the story, and there's a picture.
What did they use? One of these pictures, like of Chris or?
No, they used a picture of actually one of our events.
Yeah.
It was just one of our dances, so it was a picture of just
Where did they get the pics?
We have pictures online. We do have a website that we have online with, pictures and kind of what we're trying to do and everything.
Sure. What's the website?
It's the-other-side.org.
Okay.
And there you can find all the information about, our mission, our goals, what we're trying to do with the community, kind of what we're trying to do with our nonprofit, which is the bigger picture of what we're doing.
Yeah, I kind of want to talk a little bit more about that part of it, because I get the connection, because it's pay a cover charge to come in, or how does that work?
We have a cover on our events nights. We're open Thursday through Sunday. Whenever we're having an event, we do a cover just like a bar would. If we have like a band playing, we obviously have to pay the band, so we have a cover.
Sure. Yeah.
But Thursday, Friday, Sunday usually is free unless there's a band. Saturday is usually our event. But the whole goal is that we'll start getting community support and community sponsors to sponsor an event. That way we can make it as cheap as possible for the community.
How would that work? Like,
let's say some big community organization said they wanted to sponsor, June 1st, which is our next event, and they want to give us money for the community to come in for free. That's how we would do it.
Okay. So, and if somebody wanted to do that, how would they go about it? Go to the website, or
they could contact us on the website. We have everybody's name listed in our jobs and exactly how to get a hold of us. I myself and Chris go out and try to get in contact with some of the bigger organizations in the community just to start getting this thing going.
Like, who've you talked to?
We actually talked to Killer Spin, which is a ping pong or table tennis. They would kill me if I said ping pong. But it's a table tennis.
Right. Let's, let's get this straight.
Yeah, ping pong to me, but
easy.
Yeah, but
what is it called? Killer Spin?
Killer Spin. They're actually a Chicago-based organization. It's table tennis.
Right.
They do all the Olympic tables and everything like that. And they got in contact with us and wanted to do a group that would do table tennis. So they're one of the ones that we've actually gotten to come through. Otherwise,
just other, you know, organizations we're starting to talk to.
Like community organizations, like, I don't know, like the JCs and the Knights of Columbus, that kind of organization, or
really,
you're talking about companies?
Companies, too, like Sage, hoping to get in contact with, and
sure.
Curran, and all these other big organizations that are based in McHenry County.
Okay. Just so, you know, I mean, just so we get it out there, how people can get to you and who you want to talk to, so that, so we're talking about people sponsoring events.
Yeah,
that's a big thing that we're working on right now, because the business model that we've set up with the other side is that it's almost like the face of the organization, and it's almost like one big fundraiser for New Directions.
Yeah,
help fund things that we really want to do, like open a halfway house,
right?
Some sort of counseling center, and eventually some sort of treatment. I mean, our goals are pretty high with all this stuff, and but we want, with New Directions, we want a network of services, you know, treatment services that, you know, range from like prevention and awareness to detox and treatment, to, you know, like aftercare and just general, you know, like after post sobriety services and stuff like that, that all work together, you know, with one organization.
And would it be specifically, would it be for the same population of people that are coming to the other side, like young adults, or?
No, just very general.
It'd be for everybody.
I mean, very similar.
All ages.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at like Rosecrans.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they've got their youth treatment, their adult treatment.
They've got halfway houses.
They're female, they've got their halfway houses.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we want to do the exact same thing, but a different model, you know, supported somewhat by the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side is something that's really easy to get behind if you're a big company in our community, because if you owned a multi-million-dollar company in McHenry County, and I said, hey, will you come help us? You know, this is our sober bar. It's good for the community. This is what we're trying to do. You know, will you help us fund this? Your response is you're going to be much more receptive to that than if I were to say, hey, you know, Rick,
how about helping me out with the treatment center?
I want to open a halfway house. How do you feel about that?
Right.
And then, you know, there's a stigma associated with drug addiction that that not a lot of people want to get behind or put their name behind.
Sure.
And the other side kind of removes that.
Well, I mean, in like the real plus to what you're doing is that, you know, the money for, you know, government money for treatment is pretty hard to come by.
Oh, it's impossible. I mean,
pretty much non-existent.
I think any business
in this state, anyway.
Yeah, my personal opinion, if you're an organization that's fully reliant on the state of Illinois or the government for your funding source, you're going to fail in the next 5 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost inevitable.
Yeah.
Just from. And that's kind of why we started setting it up this way, is because, you know, we've had personal experience with how much trouble it is to get into treatment programs if you don't have insurance and stuff like that. So, you know, if we have that community support and we have that funding from the community, it makes it easier and easier for us to, you know, get that out to people that really can't afford it. And, I mean, I'm sure you're aware, too, but, I mean, we're fully aware of the system, how it works right now, and it needs to be changed drastically.
Something seems right. I mean, in my opinion anyway, about a community support organization to help support the community, you know what I mean? You know, as opposed to just straight, you know, treatment and, you know, oh, well, you're sick, come get help kind of thing, but that we can help each other.
It just seems like the right way to go about it. And you know, you shouldn't have to be. Yeah, if you have diabetes, you're not going to have to wait 60 days on a wait list in order to get into some sort of treatment for your diabetes. If you're dying from diabetes, you're going to get treatment.
Probably.
Regardless of your insurance, something's going to happen. You're going to figure it.
You
probably get it figured out.
Sure.
If you're a drug addict and you're dying from drug addiction or alcoholism, you're kind of shit out of luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
here's this number, call it every day for the next 60 days, we might have a bed open.
Right. Yeah, and there's other ways to do it, but I don't know if that's appropriate for our radio show.
Yeah, but it shouldn't have to be like that.
Because we don't want to give anybody any ideas that are going to come back and bite me later, but we don't, you know, definitely there's the system is, you know,
it's
got some problems, and you guys got a unique answer. Was there ever a point? And I'm going to jump back a little bit, but was there ever a point where you thought, I'm I don't know if we can do this, or you had any doubts, or were you always pretty much pedal to the metal from the gate?
I think, there were points where I was like, I don't know if we could do this, but we were also emotionally and like physically and financially invested in it.
Yeah.
That we were going to get it done.
Yeah.
And then if it failed,
yeah,
at least we did our best, but were at least going to get it up.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of, all of that worry was kind of removed after, you know, we had been reached out, you know, so many people had reached out to us and say, hey, this will work. Just keep going.
Why do you think, it sounds almost like miraculous in a way that it all came together.
Yeah. It is. It really is. We have very, like I tell people all the time, us as a group, we have very little to do with it.
Yeah.
Very little. I mean, we have no idea what we're doing. I mean, no idea what we're doing on any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just, you know, woke up each day.
Kind of had a business plan, showed up.
Yeah, and we didn't even know what we're doing with the business plan. The business plan like evolved. We didn't sit down in October and say, "All right, we're going to, we're going to open the other side, and it's going to turn out to be a really unique way to raise funds and gain support from the community to help solve the drug addiction problem in McHenry County." It's not what happened.
Yeah.
It was like, four months later, this is going to be a really different, unique way to help support this. And, you know, it wasn't like our idea. None of it was our idea from the beginning. It all just morphed.
Kind of evolved along the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've got somebody on the line here if you want to take it. If you guys wouldn't mind, we'll see what they have to say if you want to have a little quick question here.
Sure. Let's light it up.
All right.
Kind of excited. Is it?
Are you with us?
Hi, caller. Yes. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
This is Russell T. from Ridgeville, South Carolina.
Well, Russell T., how do you do, buddy? Good to hear from you. You got a question for us?
I do. I'm a 53-year-old kid. I was wondering if there's an age limit on, on the other side.
Actually, there's not. That was one of the, like, unknowns that we had going into this, like what demographic is going to come out to our events.
Yeah.
And we've actually been surprised because we thought there was going to be like just a mess of teenagers show up, but it wasn't the case. It was, our main age group was, early 20s to 40s. I mean, and that's how it's been the past, 2 weeks since we've been open. Most of the people that are coming out are, late 20s.
So Russell's 53, he can come?
Yeah. I mean, there was...
I guess you can come, Russ.
I know him. You don't want him.
So like, if I came there and brought people, we could have drinks and dance and request songs and that type of a thing?
Yeah. Think of it if you were just to go to your favorite bar and then just remove the booze from it.
Yeah,
it's really
cool.
Yeah.
Okay, does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Got it. Bye bye.
Good question.
Yeah, good question. I have another question for you. You guys have been interviewed by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, are there any things that you haven't been asked? Any things that you think people have left out of the interviews? Like, I know you've done, like you said, you did WGN Radio. You did the Johnny D.
Jonathan Brandmeier.
In the morning. So I don't know what kind of interviews those were and what kind of things you got asked there. Anything get left out?
No. Well, I, sometimes we'd like to focus more on New Directions, mm-hmm. the nonprofit, mm-hmm. than the other side. But, you know, we just really, we want support for that. You know, 'cause that's really where our hearts are at.
Sure.
The other side is just really cool. And mm-hmm. how that's taken place is, it was like you said, it was like kind of miraculous on mm-hmm. how it all happened. But the nonprofit, you know, given the right support and continued, you know, steam,
mm-hmm.
could really, really make some big, you know, impact in our community. Because we have, mm-hmm. you know, people who are really motivated to do it. And this is our life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is what we're passionate about doing. And so the more support, you know, we just want to, you know, that we just want to get out there that it is a part of a bigger organization that has much bigger goals than just providing the sober, doing the sober.
I would suspect that some of the other stuff that you've been doing, the other talks and most of the PR
focused on the other side
is on the sober bar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The nightclub. Without
alcoholic beverages.
But we're not calling it that.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, to talk a little bit more about that, you know, I think you've talked about some of the events that you've had. What do you have coming up?
What do we have coming up?
Car and bike show, which should be our next big event. Which we're trying to work with with Zach Harley and getting them involved with us and doing something with them.
Yeah, and then we've got, we're still trying to figure out a lot, like what's successful, what's not successful. Mm-hmm. We're doing that, we've got a live hip-hop show on Saturday night.
Which
is just...
Coming up this Saturday
night? Yeah, this Saturday will be like live rap hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that should be interesting. That hasn't been done in McHenry County in a while, I'm sure.
In a while. Ever, maybe.
Yeah,
it might be a really long while.
Yeah, so yeah.
Where would people go? Did you check your website for upcoming events and things like that?
Yeah, it's a mouthful. It's www.the-other-side.org.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got it in there twice now because we caught that. That's
good.
We'll say it several more times tonight.
Yeah, we'll put a link to it on our website too, and you know, hopefully with all the press, you know, if I just Google the other side and Crystal Lake.
Oh, have you ever Googled Sober Bar Crystal Lake?
I have not.
If you have some free time, like five hours, it's amazing. I mean,
there's a lot there.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds and hundreds. Like, we were...
What does that mean? I mean, is there's hundreds of sober bars?
About the other side.
I haven't heard of any of these.
Right.
We're putting together a marketing packet for sponsors and everything for the nonprofit, and we thought it'd be a good idea to put in all of our articles that we've been in. So we were at the computer yesterday, like printing off these articles.
And there's a lot of them.
Hundreds that I've never even read. I mean, hundreds. Blogs. I mean, all over the country. I mean, you were telling me that story.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah.
Sure.
Trenton. It's crazy.
Trenton. Yeah. The Trenton Times.
Yes. It was like, do you have any idea about what makes this different?
I mean, I think you were saying earlier at the beginning of the show that you kind of got your inspiration from a similar idea. Somebody was doing something similar in LA,
it's been done.
Why? I've never heard of this, anything like this. And I think it's a great idea.
I don't know.
Would you go?
Sure, I'd go.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
I think it's the concept that... I think it's the fact that we have the concept. It's like we don't care why you're sober. It's just, if you're sober, this is just a place to hang out. And it's providing the same atmosphere that if you were out drinking, I guess. And it's not, like, diluted at all. You know, we're not trying to, like... Because we've had people say, like, well, aren't you worried about people being triggered? Not really. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're getting triggered by that, then maybe go to a 12-step program or something. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
Like...
Sure,
that's fine. Not everybody's going to be ready in a place in their recovery to maybe go to that type of setting.
Right. You have like a hookah lounge?
No.
Or did you let that go? Or?
Yeah, we let that go. That was
before we got our ordinance changed.
Yeah.
Oh, really? They didn't allow that?
City's not a fan.
They're not a fan of hookah lounges?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right. So for Crystal Lake, no hookah lounge.
Yeah.
Hear that?
Scratch that.
Scratch
that. And that might be the reason behind it. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, I just got the sense that, you know, you spoke really well of the new directions, and, you know, maybe that it's tied to something bigger. It sounds like the one out on the West Coast is probably a really cool idea, but more of just kind of a hangout.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that's a great thing, but that you have this tied into something, you know, to really kind of be more of a support to the community.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Community.
Yeah, and we're definitely trying to, you know, break that stigma too.
So one thing that I was thinking, and I had heard this, there was like when you guys first got started, I'm kind of in the business myself, so people are calling me up going, what do you know about this? You know, kind of suspicious, like, what do you know about this? Who are these people? Can I send my kid there? Are they gonna, you know, get, you know, are they gonna, are they all, you know, dope dealers or what's going on over there? You know, and
well,
no, really, I'm not kidding. I took a lot of calls. I bet you, you know, some others of us here have also had similar calls. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have known a number of you guys before,
a long time ago.
So I knew that things were pretty cool. But there was a lot of angst about, young people starting this thing and what was that all about. Did you have to deal with that?
Kind of, but it was almost like, it was almost, there's like this kind of like chatter and buzz around that. There was some people were kind of talking smack about it, blah, blah, blah. But when all of us who were involved with it didn't even give it 2 cents because we knew what we were trying to do, and we knew that we were going to do it right.
Yeah.
And we knew it was going to be successful. So we didn't really care about what everybody else was like saying about it.
Yeah.
So we just, because we knew that what we were
trying
to do.
People are
going to
say what they're going to say.
Yeah, it would really bother us. Cause it would have bothered us if we had like some ulterior motives behind it, or like if there was something, you know, sketchy going on. But there was none of that involved, so it was almost just like, whatever.
And a lot of the critics hadn't even shown up. I mean, some of the probably the biggest loudmouths about the whole thing we've caught at our parties before, and then completely changed their view. So
I mean, there's so many people, like, you know, they're not so many people, but there's been people who are like, oh, this is, you know, this isn't healthy, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You guys are playing Monster Pong, which is like beer pong. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how is that conducive to sobriety?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know. Maybe it's not. But, you know, it's not necessarily what we're trying to do. You know, we're just trying to
have some fun without alcohol, period.
So
fun without alcohol.
So and then I think now that people kind of see it, and we've had, like, live music in there, and it's like a bar, and it's a cool place to hang out. It's fun. It's nice. You know, it's
And I've you have door people, right?
That's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people at the door are pretty careful about who, you know, making sure that people don't bring things in.
Yeah,
they don't belong there.
We've had that. Johnny B asked me, said, well, how are you going to make sure that people don't bring booze in? And, like, well, you're not going to get anything past me or Mike or anybody on the board, for sure, because we know every trick in the book, you know. And and then we've got our door guys. And one of the things is we're not under any illusion that that's going to be a problem we're going to run into. Like, people will show up there drunk, and we'll have to deal with it. I mean, that's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So,
and that's going
to
happen.
There might be a night where somebody's there who smokes some pot, and we never know about it. But, you know, we're not promoting it at all.
Right.
It's just something, you know, we're going to have to deal with. So.
I think on the other side of that, I mean, if you're looking at it from the perspective of like a sober bar versus a bar, which, you know, if people aren't familiar with the area, we have plenty of those really close. I mean, 10 to 20 probably, readily available. But they're going to have issues too.
Yeah.
You know, any place you have a venue where the public's welcome to come for whatever reason, you know, there's always going to be, you know,
an issue. Yeah.
It's just part of the package.
Yeah. It's just almost, it's like focused.
Yeah.
More on us.
Sure.
So the one other thing I wanted to ask you, and then we're probably going to wrap, but there's two different, you were talking about the one not-for-profit, or are they, there's two things. One's more based on a prevention, kind of a speaker's bureau, And that's, what's that called?
It's called Wake the Nation.
Wake the Nation. I like that name.
Yeah, and that's that's head up by one of the girls on our board. Her name is Cassandra. She lost the father of her child to a heroin overdose. And she's just a huge advocate of breaking the silence on, you know, drugs and alcohol, and that it's not a big deal, and or it's not in our town, and like all of that stuff. And and she does a really, really good job of putting together presentations to, you know, parents and just kids in general about, you know, like heroin's out there. You know, heroin's a readily available drug. You know, you can become a heroin addict. It's not that hard. And it's she just gets out there and she just, you know, tells the truth about it. There's no, she's not diluting it at all. And
I think,
and there's some high schools have been receptive to it, but there's that they want the truth out there. So it's been kind of cool. And
some are and some aren't.
Yeah, some are. But the ones that are going to benefit from it. So the ones that aren't are going to be the ones that.
So is there anything else that you guys think that we ought to know about what you're doing? Any other things that you want to throw in there?
Well, we're just right now we're really focused on getting the other side stable. I mean, not that it's not stable right now, but like financially in a spot to where it's a non-issue and we can start working on another project.
Yeah.
And we're always, you know, looking for people to help out because we're by no means know anything about this, you know, or creating this type of organization. And we're always looking for people who are willing to help us out. And
so things are
point us in the right direction and some things. And so,
And your website again?
It's www.the-other-side.org.
Okay.
And there's also a link to donate to the other side.
Okay.
Or Wake the Nation, one or the other.
Great. Okay.
And we are fully registered 501c3, everything like that. So
tax deductible if you donate.
There you go.
And will you guys get together so that we can link to our website where that we can make that happen?
Yeah, sure will.
You're the tech guy, so I just look at you and go, make it happen.
Yeah, so if you're out there, you know, check out their website, you know, and they, people can contact you if they have, you know, if people want to volunteer or, you know, that, I think that's a great
We're volunteer based at the moment. We just have one general manager at the other side, and then we've been working. We've had a lot of people, but willing to volunteer. So. Cool.
And you had a pretty good turnout at this last event.
Yeah, the first party
250
was about,
or so.
It was about 500.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So. Wow. That's a lot of people.
Yeah,
you can't see Rick's eyes right now, but they got real big.
Yeah,
see that on radio.
We pulled a permit for the grand opening part of the city. Is Chris Lake made us put a temporary use permit for the parking lot? Because so we had like a block party in the parking lot and the party
inside.
And Jamba Juice was there. The Texan was there.
Really?
Yeah, it was like catered barbecue. There was like a DJ outside. It was pretty fun.
I don't know why didn't we go?
I don't know.
Maybe next week.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. We'll maybe for the hip hop.
Yeah.
I'm all about that. You know.
You fit right in.
Okay. Well, anyway, thank you guys for coming. I really appreciate it. And you know, we the information is good, and I hope that this helps get a little bit more out. It's like you got a lot out there already, so
yeah, it all helps. Something every time we do something like this, something comes from it. So
and also hopefully we got to talk about the treatment end or the not for profit end a little bit more, because I know how that's a big part of this, but maybe even a major part of it. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so thank you guys for coming, thank our listeners out there and our studio audience, and we'll email our reminders out like we do every week, usually Friday. I send out the reminders. I think I got them out Thursday this week.
We're ahead of the game.
We are ahead of the game. Please check out recoveryinternetradio.com for all our archive shows and sign up for our email reminder list if you would like to. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
We want to hear from you. So, as always, live today, love yourself and your neighbor, and together we'll trudge the happy road to destiny. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at 8 p.m. next Sunday night.